contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. If you are listening throughout the continent of Africa, the U.S., Canada, or worldwide online, we welcome you to the program and are grateful you take time out of your day to tune into the program. What we're airing this week is a series of conference talks that I did at Lake Tahoe for a bunch of young adults who are struggling with life and figuring out life and wanted to learn more about how to trust the Lord. It was a wonderful time, and we thought this would be a blessing to you to air these conference talks. If you have a young adult who is struggling with the direction of life and what to do with life and all the challenges of life, even their faith, this is a week that is meant to help your young adults. So do please give these to them. We hope that they will be a blessing to them, and you're welcome to reach out to us. You can find all of these right online at aegradio.org, free for download. You can call us at 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at aegradio1. Well, here is now the program. Today, we're looking at Mark chapter 4 and Jesus calming the storm. We hope this conference talk that was given in Lake Tahoe at the end of 2018 is a great help to you and for young adults who are trying to find their way through this life. Thanks so much for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were beating into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's the passage I want to consider today. It's such a wonderful passage. And most of the time it's taught that Jesus is here. Jesus will calm the storms in your life. That's how I've heard it taught. That's how I've heard countless pastors teach this. That this is all about the storms in your life that come. And guess what? Jesus is here to calm those storms for you. Now again, come back to that thought of what do we think Jesus is here for, right? Is that what this is? Is that what this passage is all about? I want you to notice here something that happens that to think about what Jesus is exactly doing. And I would say to you today that this is not about Jesus calming storms in your life. I would say that this is about Jesus bringing storms into your life. That's not the most exciting message to hear. You come here to RCF, you want to hear something better than that, right? You don't want to hear if there could be a storm on Lake Tahoe today. That would wreck everything, right? But listen, this is really important because it's reality. It's life. Jesus leads his disciples right into the eye of a storm. This is really important, for many have focused on storms and what they all represent, and there are a variety of things they can represent in life, but everything that brings about fear, everything that brings about panic, everything that brings about distress can be encompassed under this idea of a storm that comes. Storms scare us. Storms are fearful. But you'll notice here that the storm is focusing us to ask, what do we believe about Jesus' word to us? What do we believe about all the promises that he has made to us? The Lord has said wonderful things to you in the course of your life. The Lord has told you that by faith in him, you have peace with God, that you've been justified by grace through faith, that the warfare that you have with the Lord is over, and that he has promised that he's he who started the work in you. He's going to finish that work, as we looked at last night. Afterward, he's going to receive you into glory. All these wonderful promises that you hear over and over and over. And pastors have this great challenge of constantly trying to preach these things and keep these promises fresh, because most of them do this. You don't even really hear them. You don't even take into your lives how wonderful the things that the Lord has done for you. Because maybe you've always been in this environment. Maybe this is all you've ever known. So again, if this is all you've ever known, think of the child in some other part of the world who has never heard the gospel, never had any training, never would have anything like WCRF. I mess it up, Joel. I apologize. Don't put that on the website, all right? None of this. You have, look at what you've been given, especially if you're blessed to say, I have parents who care and all this, okay? So all these wonderful things are said to you, but really, have you taken them to heart? Have you embraced them? Have you believed them? Have I trusted the Lord in light of these things? And this is where I think this passage is so very helpful and so very important, because what it's teaching us is that for the Lord to draw out trust in everything that he said to you in his word, he's going to have to test you at times. He's going to bring real tests upon you. This is the thing we see all over Scripture, trial and testing. And particularly in this particular passage, that Jesus is testing them with his word, what he has said to them and what he has promised to them. And Mark wants to show you in this particular passage how much power Jesus has to uphold you with his word. Keep that thought in front of you as we begin to go through this. So, here's a scene a little bit, just so you have a little background of the scene. It's nighttime, and they have come from the busy Capernaum side of the lake to the eastern side of the Gerasenes. And you'll notice here that they have left probably in Peter's fishing boat. Remember, Peter was a fisherman, and this is what he did for his occupation and his life. And so, you know, to think a little bit about this scenario here it's nighttime, and they're about ready to cross this great Sea of Galilee, and that's a risky move. Jesus knows that. In fact, this is one of the deepest lakes in the world, Sea of Galilee. We've got a beautiful lake here, but this lake was deep. This lake was scary when storms would come up on it. And these windstorms would arise without any notice. They would just come. And they didn't have GPS, they didn't have tracking, they didn't have weather reports, they didn't have any of that. So fishermen had some sense of the lake, but they knew that what Jesus had asked them to do was dangerous. We're going to go cross right now. This is the cell. They always have a memorable time thinking about, at this time of year, the Edmund Fitzgerald. And if you don't know about that ship, it's a fascinating story that this huge freighter on Lake Superior went out in 1975. And it was just a massive, massive cargo ship coming from some mill in Wisconsin. And this cargo ship goes out on Lake Superior with no notice of any storms, anything. And the whole crew, it's a big ship, so there's a lot of crew members and captain. They head out on Lake Superior in the worst November, about this time. This ship goes out onto Lake Superior and the storm hits. And they still don't know to this day what happened. It's gone. They think that a massive wave came up over the front of the boat, and as it did that, the pressure was so great it snapped in half and immediately sunk the thing to the bottom. I think that'd be one of the worst ways to die. Don't you? Go read the story of the Edmund Fitzgerald and listen to Gordon Lightfoot's song on it. It's a really powerful song. This is that kind of situation, okay? There's this storm that has come up on the Sea of Galilee. And Mark just doesn't say it was a storm. Mark says it was a mega storm. That's the emphasis here in the Greek. This is a mega storm. So much so that the boat is beginning to fill up. And we read this astonishing moment here that Jesus is in the boat sleeping. And it's really remarkable. These are fishermen. They've been doing this their whole life. If you know fishermen, they're rough, tough folk. They know the way. They know the boats. They know how to do this. They're panicked to death. And what's Jesus doing? Taking a nap. Taking a nap. Now, you have a couple options here in trying to answer that. Either, right, Jesus needed a nap, and he had no idea that this storm would come. Or Jesus needed a nap, and he purposely led them into the storm. Now, which one do you think I'm going to say it is? It is not that this, and this is the problem with saying that Jesus is just here to calm the storms in your life. The question is, well, how did the storm begin in the first place? Who brought the storm? You see? So it's this kind of thing I think you have to think about when he commanded them to go, fully knowing the weather reports. Jesus does. He knows everything. So Jesus leads them into this storm, and now we have a fisherman scared to death. And he had said so much to them already about his word, about his promises. The Lord had just said in this last section, listen, in the parable of the sower, I have given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. I gave it to you. So he has given them his word. I'm still coming back to this question is, have they embraced that word? Have they taken that word to themselves? Are they really trusting that word that the Lord has spoken to them? All their lives, they have had this word given to them in the scriptures. So this is the issue. Do they really believe in the power of his word? Remember, Christianity is not so much about what is sensual, touch, taste, feel, all these sort of things. Yes, we have the sacraments, but we are a people of the book. We are people who trust a living word. And that's hard for us as Americans because we don't even read much anymore. But Jesus is challenging us here that the real power that he's made known to us is in the word. Can the Lord be trusted in his promises? Can the Lord be trusted in what he has said in his word? And this is where the rubber really meets the road. Not when I'm out at the lake and I have my feet up on the chair and I have coffee in hand, and then when it's all smooth, I can do my devotions. Right? That's what we think Christianity is. No. No, it doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. Because if you're trying to create that particular scenario, devotions will never happen. And you know that. Right? Because everything's got to be perfect to get to devotions. No. So here it is. Here comes the storm. Here comes the test. And he had made these promises that nothing can separate them from his love. He has promised that he would be with them. He has promised that, and he's with them. He's come down from heaven to dwell with them. He's with them right now. And I want you to notice the question that they ask. Isn't it something when it says, and a great mega windstorm arose, the waves were beating into the boat, the boat was already filling, but he's in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care? Stop. Don't you care about us? Don't you care that we're perishing? See, now this is where it's really come. Let a little storm come and you'll find out where you are right away. Let a little storm come and we'll find out whether we're trusting. And it doesn't even have to be a mega storm, does it? This is exactly what the text is drawing out of us. Trust. Where are we? And this sort of thing, again, as I said, that trust is not something that comes natural. So Jesus is actually working on them to build it in them. So if you're asking if he really cares about you, in the middle of the storm, what has just happened? If you have to ask, does he care? You're not really trusting and you've doubted what he has spoken. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. I will keep you. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Peter will write that. So here we are. The storm has come and they will come. And notice again that everything is focused here on the word. Jesus, in the midst of this, has a question of his own. This is what I really love about this particular passage. After they ask a question, notice, do you care? What is his question? I don't want to get to his rebuking yet. Let's go to verse 40. of the waves. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Well, that's probably one of the most important questions anyone could ever ask about Christianity in light of trust in this life, isn't it? What does that particularly tell you right there? Well, last night, you're looking at certain things that attack trust in the midst of the complexities of life, the hardships of life, the changing times in which we live. Last night, what attacked trust in Asaph's life? Well, you could say a few different things attack trust, but it was very much his bitterness over his circumstances, his anger, his frustration at God that assaulted trust because life wasn't playing out the way that he thought it should play out. It's one way. But then there's another way, notice here, that's attacking trust, and what is it? Fear. Fear. Trust is so important to what it means to have true faith, right? We say this all the time, that it's that hearty trust. It's a trust in what God has said. I so believe his word that I won't doubt what he has said to me. Imagine if we live like that, that if we had actual trust in whatever storm that did come that he brought, that it wouldn't shake me whatsoever. Because I so believed and I so trusted that my good heavenly Father has brought this upon me to try me and to test me, that I would be more like Jesus, that I would be conformed into his image instead of falling apart the minute the storm comes. Imagine if I looked at all of life that way, that there was absolutely nothing that ever happens in this life. Look at the world right now. Look at the things that were mentioned by Thaddeus about the problems in society. What if I looked at everything that's happening right now as a way of the Lord drawing out of me and all of his people faith, right? So imagine that, if we actually live that way. And this is exactly what Jesus is committed to doing for you. Because you'll never come there without his help. We are often controlled by this fear in life, and fear is completely incompatible with trust. You understand that? So here we are. Everything's backwards to our wisdom. We would think that if everything's going smoothly, that's the indication in life, right? That's the indication, and that's the time where my trust will be exhibited the most. Backwards. That's the time when you'll coast. But the Lord is so committed to you and his project to begin the work and complete the work that he's going to test you and try you and refine you and bring you into storms to prove what to you? That he can uphold you in it. That's the big point that's going to be shown here, that his power of his word can uphold you in this, no matter what it is. I don't. Some of you know that I lost my dad this year to pancreatic cancer. And, you know, if you get that diagnosis, it's over. They say like 5% make it out, and then, you know, you have about, you're considered in remission if you're 5 years out, okay? So he died a very hard death. It was one of the, in all my years of ministry, I probably have never witnessed, and I've done a lot of ministering to sick and dying people. I have never seen anyone suffer like my own dad. And we were tight. We had a good relationship. He was a good father to me. So this was really painful. But as I stood back and looked at it, I remember thinking to myself, I wish the Lord would have just dropped him dead of a heart attack than to go through this, to go from 200 to 90, to watch your dad waste away like that. But you know, afterward, I stood back, and you always read Providence backwards and see what the Lord did. I saw the Lord's hand fall upon him so that my own dad died one of the most amazing deaths that I've ever seen. How do you go to your death with that kind of confidence? There's only one way, is that in the storm, the Lord's power was upholding him. I mean that. I would say to him, "Dad, how are you getting through this?" He says, "Well, I have the Lord. What do I have without him?" And so that he went, I mean, he died like a champion. And the what that did for me as a son, that whole storm gave me a different kind of whole perspective on death and how I would go to it myself. But the point is that what I saw witnessed in the life of somebody else was the Lord's power rest upon somebody like that in the storm, and he didn't waver. I mean, seriously, he was pushed to the brink, and he did not waver. That was the Lord. That's exactly what he does. And so he's showing that power. He's demonstrating. We're going to come back and explore that a little more this afternoon. But here's this thought, which we don't think about. If the boat goes down, so does Jesus. He's in the boat with me. Right? He's so with us, never leaving us, that if we go down, he goes down. And that's an impossibility. So notice what particularly happens here. He begins to put on display his power, and you notice in verse 39, and he awoke and rebuked the wind and the sea and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, that would probably change my perspective about Jesus a little bit if I had seen that too, right? They're all of a sudden saying what? Who is this? Wait a minute, you've been walking with the Lord this whole time, and you haven't realized who's with you? You see what they're saying right there? Look at verse 41. And they were filled with great fear. Wait a minute. Now, this is a whole different kind of fear now. This is the right kind of fear. This is a trusting kind of fear. The other kind of fear was panic, despair. Everything's going wrong for me. We're all inward focused. We're scared about everything. And now what happens? All of a sudden, his voice speaks. His word comes out. And they are filled with mega fear, it says. Mega storm, mega fear. What kind of fear is this? Wow. Who is this? Who is this that can stop the sea storm with one word? Well, I'll tell you who it is. It's the one through whom everything was made. It's the eternal Son of God. It's true God and true man who's come down to you to dwell with you and to save you. You see? See, now in the storm, you see what's happening to them? The right kind of fear is coming out because his power was preserving them and his power was keeping them. And they were seeing in that deliverance and help him for the first time. Yes, he's Lord over all. He's King over all. Anything that's going on in this world right now that we look around and are fearful about, you should stop and to say they have a reason to fear if they don't know him. You see, this is God's Son. Jesus made all kinds of promises. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, he shall live. And even if he dies, he will be with me. But you'll never really die. This is the kind of power he's talking about. In other words, when you die, you go to be with him. So that very voice that calmed the storm, think about what has happened, has calmed the ultimate storm so that he has reconciled us to his Father. You know who faced the storm for us in its full fury? He did. When the cross is happening, remember what happened to the sun and the moon and the blackness? A storm rose over Golgotha, and God struck his Son for you so that you might know in all of the storms he brings you through that he's not going to leave you or abandon you. He's going to carry you through them. He's going to uphold you. But what he wants from us, what he's calling us to, is this kind of trust and faith. You see? This is what it is, and no matter the circumstances of life, he is calling us to this, and not to live in, now we've seen, bitterness or anger, but now not to live in fear. It's antithetical to faith. It's antithetical to trust. He has the ability to uphold you, and if he brings you into a storm, he's doing that purposely to refine you and to show that power to you so that you start putting your eyes on him, which you'll never do without it. When you begin to know God this way and look at life this way and understand providence this way, you're beginning to know what it is to trust him.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.